Welcome to Ellie Goldsmith's Relationship Flow podcast. We are on our way home from the airport. Very exciting. And we are discussing today the about tshuva reality. And I'm going to hand it over to my soulmate who's joining us straight away. Not in part two, but in the episode. Very excited to have her. Masha Goldschmidt, aka Teeny Pop 613. And yeah, we're driving, so just bear in mind. But let's say hello.
I'm going to have to exit soon, so yeah, we're driving back from the airport. We just dropped our daughter off. She's going away for a few days.
Right.
Feels like the car's very loud.
The car's great. Part of the sound effects of tshuva.
Yeah, we're lucky to have a car at all.
Exactly.
It just makes a noise. Gets us everywhere, but it makes a noise.
Please go to, we're always ready to update.
Upgrade.
An upgrade.
Yeah.
So what? Why do you want to discuss about tshuva?
I feel strongly that I need to say, we need to speak, we just need to like address it and speak about it. And honestly, it's probably more therapeutic in a way, but I do think that it's something that needs to be answered. Maybe, you know, you said about tshuva, so maybe it's something that only... This actually isn't for Baal tshuva to listen to. If they listen to it, they might, maybe they'll relate and feel validated or some empathy or...
Well, how would you
maybe they won't relate,
define
Baal really
tshuva? What is Baal tshuva in English? What
somebody who's did not grow up religious and chose religious path.
Can I say a slightly different one?
Yeah.
Baal tshuva is the master of return. Tshuva means repentance in like old school English. Updated English, I would say getting to know yourself, like your soul.
Okay, well listen, honestly, you can have a whole... You can have a whole podcast and talk about what you think about tshuva actually means, and it's really not the point. But in terms of the context of what I'm trying to get at, you grew up a certain way, and you pretty much changed your life. It means you learning things that you didn't grow up with, and starting a life of... You kind of have to learn a lot of basics, but learn a lot of things that you didn't grow up with and didn't know. It's and you might anyway. Whatever.
What do we want to discuss
today?
That's
not the point of what I'm trying to say.
So then, get it to our point. What's the flow?
Right. What I'm trying to say is that. Once a person who didn't grow up religious, and they choose a religious path, and they could have been, and even if they've been done it for 20 years or something, then end of the day, what I'm going to say, there's a certain loneliness or feeling of being an outsider, no matter how integrated you are, no matter how much you... it's as if, in a way, you like as if you were always doing it because it's very natural for you, and your kids are in schools, and you're living your life, and you know it's good, and you're happy with the, and it's not that you have any regrets or anything like that, but there's something that somebody who was born into it, and I'm saying this from experience. And people, when I say born into it, it could be any level of religiosity, you know, whether it's very, very Haredi, very, very, you know, modern Orthodox, you know, all the different names that one can say, Dati Lumi, Mizrahi, all the different names for name's sake. I'm not putting it into one, it's not just one group, because we've been around a lot. And there's something that I've noticed, that people who are born into it, they, as much as they can be very accepting and very nice and lovely people, there's something that they they're never going to understand about a Baal Tshuva. And a Baal Tshuva can say to them, you know, I'm feeling a bit lonely, or, you know, say Shabbos is long. Shabbos can get long sometimes. It feels lonely or quiet, or Yom Tov, the Chagim, Yom Tov comes, and different times of year come, and it's you might not have who to be with. You've got your family that you're creating, but one might not have all, you know, the sisters and the brothers and sisters-in-law and the mothers and the mothers-in-law and the aunties and uncles and, you know, all the Jewish geography that a lot of people can do. Grew up by you, your mother, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your nephew, your niece, all that different thing. You just don't have that, and you're starting your own chain, and the idea is that, you know, for me, our kids will have it. I'm looking forward to when our kids, you know, they're old, they get married and they have their children, and their children will hopefully won't feel what we feel. And our kids feel it also, because they're children of Baalei Tshuva. And even if you have parents who love you and care about you, but still you've had to learn everything you know by yourself. How to be a religious Jew, how to parent as that as well, how to be a spouse, and, you know, how to juggle and do a lot of things that just weren't, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm not feeling well, mommy, can you, you know, can we come to you for Shabbos, or even the people who are come live in Israel and they've left their family, but they still grew up with that, or they have a sister or a brother or cousins, or, you know, somehow they're all connected, and there just seems to be a very, they can't understand because they're not in it, but I just think it's very important for people to learn how to, in anything in life, not just in this area, but sometimes reading between the lines of what someone is saying to you. Like if you say, you know, if you say to somebody, well, in the summer Shabbos can get quite long, and sometimes, you know, you can feel a bit lonely or something, and, oh, you know, thank God we have Shabbos. Yeah, we really are very happy that you have Shabbos, and we make the best of it. But if someone actually read between the lines, it's like someone just want connection. It's just connection. It's just it's just empathy, a little bit of empathy, a little bit of care. It's learning how to read between the lines. And as I said, it's not just, it's something that's important with everything in life. Noticing when someone might say something to you, and I'm tired, or it's a way of someone saying something, and it might just seem like one line, but they could be saying so much more than that. And I don't expect everyone to be able to always read between the lines, because maybe not everyone has that strength, but just to have some sort of awareness that just an awareness of people who feel more like outsiders wherever they are. But a Tshuva can feel like outsiders, even if they're doing all the things and they look like they're fine and everything. I don't know. Do you have anything to add on?
Yeah, I'm doing Tshuva and listening better.
No, that was very good.
Yeah, I did it. I'm impressing myself. And yeah, as a Baal Tshuva, like being a husband or father, and a soul that made these choices and is continuing to do Tshuva, because really a Baal Tshuva means you have to continue the process. It's not like a one-time thing, you know, it's a journey. And I'm very happy that I'm on this journey.
Yeah.
I know this is what I'm in this world for, it's my purpose, and I get a lot of fulfillment from it. But I also feel the pain as well. Like, for example, today in Shul, they mentioned about this being the disenfranchised.
Yeah.
And it was just very painful to hear the story of, again and again in the Parsha, of how the disenfranchised, how much it does affect Klal Yisrael's journey and history when they're not being reached out to in the right time, in the right way, and it could lead to people going away from the truth.
Now, what I say, like, we're doing it for the true reasons. So at the end of the day, whatever I'm feeling, it's not gonna affect what I'm doing, because I love what I'm doing, and I love the part that, you know, what being religious to you. But what I mean is that, say someone will speak about that in shul, I don't believe that people can always really understand what that means.
Intellectually they might.
Because they might intellectually,
bring about an actual effective change in people's actions.
And I think the disenfranchised is often the Balei Tshuva, or, you know.
Well, one of the comforts I get is knowing that Mashiach, like the idea, the concept of a Mashiach, is that that's what they're busy with. Like, you know, people call the Lubavitcher Rebbe Mashiach. You know, I don't think he was, like, practically, because of he didn't fulfill all the things of Mashiach, but he had that aspect of caring about the disenfranchised.
Yeah.
And he reached out to everyone and anybody, and that was beautiful, and continues to be his legacy. And Mashiach is explained as a descendant from David HaMelech. David HaMelech, that was his crew. His crew were the disenfranchised. And that's something which I've always related to, and I've tried to do that myself, to reach out to the disenfranchised.
Yeah. Just giving someone a smile, a good word.
I will say there are people reaching out to try assist us in different things, and it makes a big difference, you know, when people
do
that.
We're not talking about anyone specific or any specific place.
It's true.
Something I've experienced in my whole journey,
yeah.
In our whole journey, in every single place we've lived, in every part.
Say a quote from Rav Nachman Bulman. He was my mashgiach. He was my, like, guide when I first came to Israel. And he said, and it was publicized in a magazine, Mishpacha magazine, that they're very good at helping people become Baal Tshuva, to come back to Hashem, but they're not very good to know what to do with them.
Yeah, and I think that's something very important that we've really worked hard on, and then listening to our inner voice and keeping, you know, real with why we did in the first place. Otherwise, you see a lot of people, you know, making other decisions because of maybe the loneliness or the pain, whatever, the pain. But as I said, this is something that, in, you know, this is not one specific place, because as I said, we've been in a lot of different places, and it's and generally at the end of the day, Balei Tshuva can't really make their own group in their own place. So generally, the Balei Tshuva are joining the from birth, as we call it, communities, whatever, whether it's
the mainstream,
whether it's in the Hasidish, Haredi, Limbish, modern, yeah, like, you,
Mizrahi,
you know,
Mizrahi, Dati,
Lumi, you know, or whatever, whichever group it is. And in Israel, it's very boxed off, Spardy, unfortunately. So I'm it's just something that, it's not that a person could be the nicest, people can be the nicest people, but it's something that they don't have because they're not in it. And it's just learning how to sometimes try and step out of yourself, of just try and think of what someone else might be feeling when they say something. It really could be so much more than that.
Sensitivity, you're, I think, very strong. That's where it's important you do these kind of episodes and podcasts. People need to hear about the more sensitive souls' perceptions so that they can start becoming more sensitive and having more awareness. And you need to teach them that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not something that comes natural to a lot of people, especially nowadays with how fast and intense everything is, with technology and everything else. It's very easy just to miss, you know, people because you worried about the next.
I mean, the thing is that everywhere we've always been, people have been so nice, and you know, we.
We have a lot of appreciation.
Yeah, it's not like. You know,
we always give over that message to the Rebbe or the rabbi, or community.
We're very independent.
We should, a lot of gratitude.
We're very independent and self-sufficient.
But gratitude doesn't mean you don't. Therefore, you just settle. You still have to improve.
We're confident. We're self-sufficient. We're integrated. Our kids are, you know, kids are doing well. It's not anything like that. It's something very, very subtle that Balei Tshuva and children of Balei Tshuva might feel because they don't have that. They don't have what a lot of their friends are going to have in school on Shabbos, especially Shabbos and Yom Tov. Or, you know, that of that extra family dynamic, or so even if you have some friends or something, but what the friends don't understand is how much you need that connection, because a lot of people have the family around them, so they're not necessarily.
Or their communal cliques.
A lot of
communities. They went to Shiva with people.
Yeah,
they
a lot of communities.
Seminary, they went to.
A lot
to,
of communities, as I said, it's not one specific place.
Or they've already been together for years.
It's very, very, yeah, it's very, there's a lot of cliques of people, like they, just like back in school, you know what? Mm. At the end of the day, you know what you notice? It doesn't change when you go into adults, like. There's the clicks and people
unless
stay
you make
in their
a
clicks.
Mindful decision,
and then someone who's coming someone like especially about Chiva who's on their journey and coming I don't know what the answer is.
I do have an answer, and I think one, like, you should keep talking about it because you have a sensitive perceptive reality of it. But I also think that Balei Tshuva can bring about the change. If we're confident and strong and keep demonstrating our willingness to serve, you know, the higher purpose of what we're here for, and we're good role models in our journey, then it will start to communicate a different path that most people aren't aware of, and they'll start to realize they also need it on some level. Because in my opinion, everyone needs to be Balei Tshuva.
I'm talking like a real, and when I say about, you know,
and that means everyone needs to become more open to each other and more connecting and more united as souls.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss that more in another episode about
because we're the kind of Balei Tshuva that are seeking. We're the kind of Balei Tshuva who have been on our journey because we're really just seeking truth, because that's what we did it for. So, you know, it's easy to put on all the garb and. Talk the talk and do all the things, but at the end of the day, then you end up becoming a robot as well. And obviously, in life, there's certain conforming you have to do for society, because that's the reality. But
but
you can't lose yourself, and you have to.
That can't be the focus. That's just on the way.
You can't lose yourself and what you're doing
it
for.
Agab,
and that's why, you know, the real truth-seeking Balei Tshuva who. Often are going to feel alone.
Yeah. So that inner journey is something we're trying very hard to develop and share. And that's really what I think is the key for Balei Tshuva to help the world be aware of, that there's a certain inner journey that we've done that's incomparable by anybody else. But in some ways, everyone needs to do it.
Yeah.
And we have the most intense, like, obvious version of it.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that the world doesn't take more note of it and give it more credence and give it more opportunity. Like, I remember once one rabbi, a very holy rabbi, was Simon Zilberberg at a third mill. He said a very strong point, and he said that, you know, there's a tremendous light in the world right now of tshuva, of return, and it will wake up the whole world. He said in Yiddish, but the problem is it blibed by the Balei Tshuva, stays by the Balei Tshuva. It's not getting to anyone else. So this tremendous light that's going into the world right now, and it's just staying. And so I wanted to say to him in front of everybody, and I did say it to him privately, that therefore we need to be allowed to communicate that light. Because if we've got it, then maybe the humility
needs
to come.
We're going into a tunnel, so I don't know.
That's fine, it'll work. The humility needs to come from everyone else to listen to that light that we've got, and to be open to learn from us. And that really will help them as much as it will help us become more connected. It's a certain humility that's needed by everyone.
Yeah.
And that will bring, in my opinion, a tremendous light to the whole world.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't feel like it's necessarily a humility of maybe certain, but some people it's
but
to do with humility.
What's blocking it getting to people? Why?
It's to do with, because people who haven't experienced something, that's why like I tend to connect to people more who have been through a lot of stuff in their life, you know, because that's what I relate to. But so unless somebody in terms of this topic we're talking about, if they haven't experienced it themselves, because that's not what they were born into or something, they're not going to necessarily understand it naturally. It's really people who.
But it is talked about and it is brought up.
Right,
in
so
books
people need to have more.
Holy rabbis are aware of it.
Right, well, you know, but even some very holy people, as amazing they are and supportive as they are, they also haven't really understood it. Fully understood.
Yeah.
They can't understand. Hold on a minute. I hope I'm going the right way.
You're going the right way.
They can't. They're not going to be able to understand that when you say the loneliness or something, then they're not going to understand. They can't understand. They didn't experience it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. That's why I'm saying I don't know. Even say example, let's take someone who's having a panic attack. Somebody who's never had a panic attack, and even someone who claims to be a therapist, in my opinion, and to help people through panic attacks, and they never had one.
Yeah.
You can't. It's something that you cannot help someone with.
It was funny. I listened
unless
to a podcast
really have had
where someone admitted to that. A big therapist, 20-year therapist, something like that. Very well known, famous, very successful, and he only started to get the depth of it when he had his own panic attack. Right.
Yeah.
So, only then could he really.
And I'm not trying to put anyone down. It's just there's certain things.
He admitted to that.
There's certain things that, like, unless you've not that I want people to experience difficult things, chas v'shalom, but I'm saying that it's so you can't like expect somebody to really feel or know something when they haven't been through it. But at the same time, one can learn to have a bit of a one can learn to have some sort of an awareness by hearing it from other people, and then just.
And I just end off, I think, in bottom line, I think the Balei Teshuva, as it says in our own books, are very, very special people in this world, and I hold of it as a path and a way for this world. It's like it is a successful way of being, but it does still need much more connection with others. It can't just stay by itself, and that's what...
What do you mean?
Like, the people themselves need to be able to communicate their journey, and there needs to be more of room of understanding it in a deeper sense than just, you know, like a change of lifestyle. There's much more to it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it hasn't been fully explored. And I just ask whoever's listening, if you have your own story, I'm happy to hear, share it. If you have a podcast link or whatever it is, however you communicate it, if you're writing it down. I'm happy to hear more about your journey, and my wife and I, our soulmate journey, will be happy to hear if it's with someone else as well, so then it also has that relationship flow aspect. But the real concept is that, you know, I'm honored to be married to someone who's, I would say, is a Balei Teshuva, and me being a Balei Teshuva, I'm happy to share that light with the world, but most importantly to really, you know, fulfill our journey with it, you know, to really do the full process, and I'm excited that I'm here doing it, even though it can be very sometimes seemingly lonely and difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone, we're almost home.
Yeah, that was quite therapeutic.
Yeah, it was very good to talk this out, and I'm proud of myself for listening. I did a bit of tshuva. Sorry in the previous episode if I jump in a bit more. Just get excited, and my wife's patient to let me do that at least somewhat, but I need to now listen better, and that's part of my tshuva on this point. And can't wait to hear your relationship flow And looking forward to just check out the links, and we'll hopefully do another episode about Unity. I think that's something else that we can help with, especially the Unity Bookings concept. Check it out. Bye. All the love. Any words?
No.
Love ya. See ya.